Good morning. My name is Ben Spearman. I'm the pastor of this church. You may not have known that. It's been 3 weeks since you've seen my face. Last week was not intentional. Last week, and thank God for unanswered prayer, I was praying to die. Okay, that's not true. I was praying that the Lord would take me. I didn't really want to experience death. I just wanted to translate out, because let me tell you something. I now know what the norovirus is all about. I didn't know what that was. I had heard it before. And we have a colloquialism for it, and I hope you'll excuse this a little crass. Around here, we call it the winter throwing up disease. That's literally what it's called. Maybe you haven't heard of it, but at this point last week, I was absolutely praying for you, but I'm not going to lie. I was praying for you to just allow me to just let me go. I know that you were praying for me. I know that, and I'm grateful, but I was just like, Lord, stop the prayers of your people. May your servant pass unto your judgment and just stand with you in the heavenly of heavens, and because I just was ready to go. But I am back, and I hate missing the first of the year. I like being with you. I like being here because I love the firsts of everything. I really do. I even like Mondays, and I know that that's weird. Most people don't like Mondays, but when I hit Monday, I think, yes, I've got a whole week. It's out there in front of me, and if I'm good enough and if I just don't procrastinate, I decide where I am at the end of this week. I decide what's going on. Well, I mean, barring, you know, all the stuff that happens to us in our lives. But I'm going to pretend like it's really not the third Sunday. I'm going to pretend like we can roll it back a little bit because I want to talk to you a little bit about this. It's never too late to leave. It's never too late to leave. I like New Year's for a lot of reasons. It's fascinating to me to think that I've got 365 days. I think that way. I think 365 days. There's really not a whole lot I can't accomplish. That's a terrible double negative. I feel like I can accomplish a lot in a calendar year. I feel like at the end of a calendar year, there's a lot of things I could be doing differently. I could be different. Can you imagine if you just spent 1 hour a week doing something different? By the end of the year, you'd have 52 hours into whatever it is. That's a lot. That's a whole lot. Imagine if you spent half an hour a day. What if you really spent a half an hour a day? I know 30 minutes. I know that time is precious. What if you spent half an hour a day, every day, reading a little Bible, praying a little bit, maybe doing some devotional stuff, half an hour a day? Let's say you only did that 5 days a week. Somebody do the math for me. 2.5 hours, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Yes? Okay. Pete, some of y'all are like, I can't do that, Pastor Ben. I come to on Sunday to not think. I come for you to do the thinking. 2.5 hours a week. So then times 52 is what? Well over 100 hours that you've spent time in prayer, in the Word, with the Lord. That seems huge to me. New Year's resolutions, I've preached about it before. I'm not a big fan of the New Year's resolution because I feel like sometimes what we lack is the resolve. And that's the active ingredient to a resolution. We call them New Year's resolutions. What we mean is we have some wishy-washy goals. We would love to see us be different, but we don't know if we have the resolve for that, but we call it New Year's resolutions. I call them goals. I think it's always good to have a goal. But I think it may be just as important to figure out what you're done with as it is to figure out what you're going to do with your year. So often, I think we really want to move forward, but I think we forget that moving forward means leaving somewhere. You can't exist in two places at once. You can't be. Try it. It's not going to work. Can you imagine how much work you could get done? Can you imagine how your house would be clean and your job would also be justified? Can you imagine what a great parent you would be if each one of your kids, or maybe at least two, had a parent all the time? Can you imagine how great that would be? But you can't be in two places at once. If you're headed for a goal, you have to leave something behind. And maybe it's just as important for us to figure out what we're done doing, what we're done with, ways that we're done being, as it is to figure out who it is that we want to be in the new year. That's why I want to talk about the fact that it's never too late to leave. In the same way, goal setting, kind of from an obtuse angle, it's the same way. Let's say you decide you want to get in shape. If you decide you want to getting in shape is not just a matter of getting up and leaving the house to go to the gym. It's not just about going somewhere. You've got to leave that sense of complacency behind you. If you want to go to the gym and you take complacency with you, do you know what you're going to do at the gym? Sit down and stare. I know because I've been there. And if you've been to the gym at any length of time, you've seen those people, have you not? Have you not been to the gym and seen those people who are dressed in their gym gear and they'll stay for an hour, but at the end of an hour, they have not dropped one drop of sweat? Because on the treadmill, they're just kind of... like, you know, they walk faster to get their mail than they are on the gym. I call it the gym stare. Have you ever been to the gym and you see somebody sitting on a bench and they're just not even there? I mean, they're there, but they're just kind of... and then they'll lift weights for about 30 seconds and then they'll put them down. That's because they didn't leave the complacency behind. They brought it with them. Wouldn't it be nice if you could lift one weight and bingo bango, you were done? Nope, that's not how it works. Just going to the gym doesn't work. You have to leave that complacency behind. When you get older, it's not just about complacency anymore, is it? It's not. You have to decide in your mind that it's not too late for you to get in shape. You have to leave your doubt behind as well. It's not just about going to a place where they have equipment which can help make you better. It's about leaving doubt and complacency behind. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3 if you don't mind. Philippians chapter 3. Yes, it's going to be up on the screen, but please don't cheat. Use your own thing. That's important. That's important for you to get to know your Bible or your phone or whatever it is that you're going to use. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading a bit of scripture today, but that's okay. I think you can handle it. I think you can handle it. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Philippians about what it's going to take. He's talking to them about what it's going to take to be a church, what it's going to take to survive in their polytheistic society and culture, what it's going to take for them to continue in the way that they've been taught, what it's going to take for them to really follow this new way, the way of being, what it's going to take for them to be focused on Christ and to not lose him, what it's going to take for them to stay on the main track, to stay true. Not with all the other stuff that people are going to want to bring into it. This is what he's talking about. And the first thing that he does, and if you're not careful, Paul can come off kind of a little strange. He says to you, listen. He says to the Philippians, listen. He said, if anybody has a reason to have a big head, it's me. If anybody thinks that they have a reason to glory in themselves, I'm telling you, I'm that guy. Because I am a Jew who was born of a Jewish tribe. I've been a Pharisee. I've been at the top of the social and economic ladder. I used to run things. My righteousness, as far as the law is concerned, was flawless. I never broke a rule. That's pretty big. Paul is saying that at one point in time, I was at the very top. And then this is what he says in verse 7. He says, I achieved everything. I accomplished everything. I was the equivalent of a doctor or a lawyer in my society, and this is what he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is acting like everything that he ever held dear, everything that was ever important to him, has been thrown away. He's acting like it's irretrievable. And then at the end of that little piece, he talks about the goal. He talks about for him that it's to attain the resurrection of the dead. And that's a pretty deep topic. This idea that there is life after death was pretty huge. That was pretty revolutional and revelational back then. And so he says to them, look, that's the goal. This is why I'm leaving all of this stuff, which was so important at one point in time. I'm leaving all of that because I have a goal to be with God. I have a goal to be with Christ. I have a goal to leave all of this behind and just be with my Lord. And then he goes on to say this. because he wants to make sure that they're not saying that, he wants to make sure they don't think he's saying that he's like some kind of undead holy hero. He's not saying, this has already happened for me. He's not saying, I've already come back, that my flesh is dead. This is what he says. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul isn't just acting like everything that he's ever held dear has been thrown out with the trash and he can't go to get it anymore. He's leaving it. He's intentionally leaving that way of being. He's leaving the money. There was money in it. He's leaving the prestige. There was absolutely prestige in it. He's leaving the notoriety. There was certainly notoriety. He's leaving the influence that he had. He's leaving all of that behind. And those were things that his culture told him was of the utmost importance. He's not just leaving things which are easy to leave. He's leaving behind everything that his culture tells him. That's the whole point. That's the whole reason that we're on the planet, is to achieve what you've already achieved. How is Paul doing that? How is it possible for him to leave all of that behind? And if you know anything about Paul's life, what he's headed for is not a fun time. It's not like he's leaving all of this good stuff to go to a better spot. He's leaving all of this good stuff to get beat up, to almost get beat to death, to always have to trick the people who are following him. He'll say he's going by boat, but then he'll take a walk. And then he'll say, you know what? I think I'm going to take a walk, and then he'll take a boat. He's literally having to do this spy kind of maneuvering in his life so that so he can get past people who want to take his life. At one point in time, it's so bad, they literally let him down in a basket by a rope, because that's the only way he's going to get out of the city alive. Paul's not leaving all of this great stuff for more stuff. It seems like he's leaving all of this stuff for a worse place to be. How is he doing that? How is it possible? There's a word. I know, I'm a word nerd. Back off. I am. I enjoy words because they're meaningful. And sometimes they're so meaningful that they can change how you think. They can change how you view a scripture. They might even change how you act. Let's go back just a couple of verses. This is Paul's perspective. This is what he says. I count them but rubbish. That's an easy word for us, rubbish. I get it. Rubbish is garbage, right? Isn't that kind of an old school word for trash? I like the New American Standard Bible. I like it because it's a pretty, you know, straight, pretty tight translation. But the New American Standard gets it wrong here, because rubbish is not a good word. If you go back to the King James Version, this word is dung. D-U-N-G. Anybody not know what that word means? I'm asking. If you don't know what D-U-N-G means, I'm telling you, it's feces. I don't even like to say that word in church, much less from the pulpit. Paul says, everything that has come before, everything that I was, everything that I achieved, all of the heights of my career, all of the times that I really feel like, you know, I didn't just pass, I excelled. I consider all of that as feces. That should do two things. Number one, that should shock you. And number two, that should help you understand how far away he wanted to be from that stuff. That's Paul's perspective. Everything that was important, he now considers as waste. Literal bodily waste. I brought my trash for you to see today. I decided to do a little show and tell. I brought my garbage. That's no joke. This is my garbage. This is my trash from my house. This is my personal trash. I just want you to understand, I brought you my trash. This is important, people. Stay with me. This is my trash. You're getting a look behind the curtain, okay? This is my garbage. I brought it for you. Now, to be fair, I did rinse a lot of the stuff out because I didn't want it to be like stanky, but this is my trash. I brought it for you. I brought my trash for you to make a point. Every week, I have what I like to call an opportunity. This opportunity is to gather all of the trash in the house and to take it out to the curb. And if I do it the night before, which is not usual, If I do it the night before, by the middle of the next day, it's gone. Poof, magic. The garbage can is just lying in the street, as if the hand of God itself came and swooped up my garbage and it was so strong that it ended up, why do they throw your trash cans in the street? Why do they do that? I left it on right there for you. Anyway, sorry. By the middle of the next day, whether I do it the night before or whether I do it at the crack of dawn that morning, because my trash guy's coming like 6:45. That's just rude. That messes with my procrastination, man. Okay. It's gone. It's like magic. And if I don't take that trash out, what's interesting is the whole house can begin to stink. Anybody ever had that problem? Anybody ever? So you leave that day for work and your house, you know, we get used to the smells in our home. We just do. When you're smelling the same thing over and over and over, you get used to it. Have you ever been to somebody else's house and you're like, that's interesting? I don't know what that is, but I'm not used to that. But then by the time the visit's over, you don't even smell it anymore, right? Have you ever left your house and then come home and as soon as you open the door, you were like, oh, okay. Well, apparently, in the 12 hours that I was gone, that meat just rotted. So I shouldn't have put that right in the garbage. The whole house can begin to begin to smell. Here's what I've discovered. It takes me 20 whole minutes. That's it. It takes me 20 minutes to get all the trash from the different parts of the house, make sure it's all in a bag, because if you don't put it in a bag, they'll literally dump it out like on your lawn for you, like confetti, like they had a party. Like, oh, we don't want your trash either. I have to get it all in the bags, to get it all out to the can with the wheels. That's why it has wheels, so it's easier. And then to wheel it out to the curb, it takes me 20 minutes. And that includes the rebagging of the cans. 20 minutes. That's it. Once a week. Not a big deal, right? It's fine. I can do all of that. You know, late Monday night or the crack of dawn on Tuesday morning when my trash people come. I can do all of that on that day, but something happens. If it's like a Wednesday and the garbage is full, I don't know what happens. For some reason, I am just okay with taking that bag of kitchen trash out, tying it real tight, and then just putting it right beside the back door. Not outside, inside. I'll do that in the bathroom. If it's just slam full, I'll just, you know that thing where you do your own trash compacting? You know what I'm talking about? You're like, this can definitely fit more. Or sometimes, we like paper plates around my house. I know, whatever, carbon footprint, back off. We like paper plates. Sometimes I'll get a paper plate as like a buffer. I'll use that to like mash the kitchen trash because I don't know what it is. If it's not trash day, I can't be bothered to make it happen. I will take that trash, I will set it by the back door. Mostly it's inside. Every once in a while, because I'm feeling magnanimous, I will open the back door and put it on the back step. You're welcome, everyone in the house. You're welcome. It is 14 steps from my kitchen trash can out, down, around, and to the can with the wheels on it. 14. I'm a little neurotic, so I've counted those before. It's 14 steps. I have long strides. It might take you 17 or 18. That's not my fault. You just are vertically challenged. It takes me 14 steps to get out to the trash can. That's it. 20 minutes, 14 steps, and it's done. But I just can't be bothered to do it for some reason. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Scripture and then trash. I know. Stay with me. We're almost done today. I just can't be bothered. It's like that 14 steps is going to what? That my life is going to be over? If I go out there and come back, I will have lost 90 seconds of my life. Maybe even 2 minutes. 2 minutes I can't get back. Now, here's what's interesting about trash. Sometimes she leaks. Ever notice that? I will put that trash right beside my back door, and sometimes it's like she just cries. It's like, I can't believe he left me here. And she weeps her tears of muck all over my kitchen floor. I know the possibility of leakage exists. I know because it's happened. And then it's real gross. Now suddenly those 14 steps aren't looking so bad. Okay, 28 round trip. Now suddenly those 28 steps aren't looking so bad. Then it leaks all out. Sometimes it dries a little bit. Ever tried to get that out of your grout before? Anybody have tile? That's good stuff. I know that it leaks, and yet I still sometimes leave it sitting there, knowing that it could be worse than better. And I do it because it's easier. That's it. I've really thought a lot about this, folks. I've really thought about a lot about why I'm willing to let that. And listen, if that comes out of the can and goes by the back door on a Thursday, what day is my trash day? Tuesday. that sometimes that bag will literally sit there. The dog will sniff it. He'll paw at it like, I need what's in here. And then I'll have to, you know, reprimand the dog. Hudson will go over and play with it. All I got to do is take that out. But I would rather reprimand the dog and tell my son, no, than actually take that trash out. And I do it because it's easier. It's as simple as that. I would rather have trash around than take the time to walk it outside. Paul says, I consider everything as dung, as feces, as garbage. I am leaving all of that behind, and I am pressing on toward this goal that I have, which is the upward call of God through my relationship in Jesus Christ. That word press there has the idea of straining, literally as if there were a harness on his body and he was pulling with all of his might, with everything that was in him. He is pulling so hard. It's like it's literally the passage of time is the only thing that's holding him back. He is pushing so hard just to try to get into the next moment, just to try to get into the next hour. He's just straining into each day because it brings him closer to the goal of that call of God in his life and his relationship with Jesus. Why are we willing to keep trash around? Some of this trash in this bag is from 2016. Some of it is. Now there's a lot of 2000, that, you know, there's, I brought vintage, I didn't bring too vintage, but you know what I'm saying. There's some 2016 trash in there. There's some Christmas cards in there. Not the ones with your kids' faces on them. I'm not a monster. But you know those Christmas cards, the one that you know that they got on the whatever, and there's just a tree or a thing on it, and it's merry, and you just, you know, drop that in there. Thank you cards are in there. What? You threw away thank you card? Yeah. You thanked me. Thanks. You're welcome. I don't know what am I going to do with that? Like, in a few months, I'm going to be like, you know, I need to go back and look at my thank you cards. Maybe I should dig back through those. There's stuff that was of use in here. You know, packages in which food came. That's important. Nobody's going to go to the store and just dip their hands into like a barrel of pickles. You know what I mean? And just be like, I think I want this many. And walk them to the beep. That's not happening. Nobody's going to go to the frozen food section and like sweep some carrots and stuff into a bag. I mean, some of that stuff that's in there was useful. Containers for the milk and all that kind of stuff. But I've got 2016 trash in this bag that hasn't gone out yet. Because it's just easier for me to let the trash stay there than it is for me to just walk it out, to leave it behind. It's just easier. I don't know what your goals are this year. I don't know what you've set your face toward. But here's what I can promise you. Going towards something is fine, but understand you're going to have to leave some things behind. Do you want to be a more patient person? Have you thought to yourself, you know what, something I could use? Maybe some more patience. Not Job, God. I'm not saying Job level. I'll take a few levels under that. Please don't wipe out my life to teach me patience. But I think I would like to be, I'd like to have a modicum of patience in my life. If you want to be more patient, then you have to leave what frustrates you behind. If you want to be more patient, you got to walk away. You've got to leave behind the things that frustrate you. Do you want to be more understanding? I want to have some more understanding. I feel like a lot of times, like, if people describe me, they would never be like, he's understanding. They would be like, he's punctual. He is, you know, organized. But I think I want to be a little bit more understanding. I want people to feel like I'm more understanding. Then you have to leave something behind. You have to leave your practiced ignorance behind. Well, that's kind of hard, Pastor. Because sometimes it's really hard for me to understand people. Sure, then stop being ignorant about their life circumstances. Stop pretending that they can fit into your paradigm just because they're people too. Stop pretending like you don't know what's going on. If you want to be more understanding, leave that practiced ignorance behind. Do you want to be more accepting? Then you have to leave your judgmental attitude behind. We've got to stop judging people. Even though we know what the word says, that whatever measure we use to judge other people will be used for us? How many of you want to get to heaven and have the ruler that you have used to judge people your whole life stood up beside you? You feeling good about that? I'm not, because I'll let myself slide all the time. I will be like, here's my ruler. You don't measure up. I don't either, but let's pretend that's not a real thing. Do you want to be more positive? Do you want some more positivity in your life? Then you've got to be willing to leave the past behind. 2016 was not an easy year for many of us. It wasn't. There were some bright spots, but more than there were bright spots, there were challenges, and there were failures, and there were hard lessons to learn. And some of us just were really just clawing to get into the new year as quickly as we possibly could so we could start over, start fresh. I have to be willing to leave the past in the past. You got to be willing to let that stuff go. If you want to move towards something, you got to leave something behind. You want to be more successful? You want to be more successful at work or at school or at home or in your relationships or maybe in your marriage? Then you have to leave your excuses behind. You got to stop saying it's not my fault. But Pastor, it's not my fault. I've got a boss who, fine, do better. Do what you can do. Do it better and do it under this boss who is so unfair. Do it in this system which is so harsh and so hard. Pastor, I'm in a relationship and I'm doing everything that I can. Really? Are you truly? Okay. What kind of attitude are you having while you do it? Well, I would be nicer if. Well, I would go further if. Well, I would give more if. We all have these excuses which work so well to let us out of our accountability to ourselves and to God. If you want to go somewhere this year, you got to leave something behind. You can't be in two places at once. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take out the trash. It's time. If you want to go somewhere, you got to leave somewhere. And it is never too late to leave. It's never. It's never too late to leave. I know that it's already 2 weeks into the new year, and maybe some of you have already failed. You were going to eat better, and you haven't yet. Because schedule, and because kids, and because, ugh. Maybe the health thing was, you know, maybe the gym thing, maybe the exercise thing, and you were like, you purposed in your heart. You told God, Father, I promise thee, I shall arise every morning at the crack of dawn. And the crack of dawn came and went. It was the full-on chasm of day. Started with a crack, and then it just blew wide open, and you woke up somewhere in this area. And you're like, it's too late. I've already lost my opportunity. I've already moved beyond. I can't go back and pick it up. That's a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, it is never too late to leave the things that do you no good. And can I say, it's never too late to leave the things which they were great in your past are bringing you nothing now. It's nice to get Christmas cards. Merry Christmas and thank you. Not the ones with your kids' faces on it. Like I said, I'm not a monster. We've still got those. It's hard to throw away somebody's face. I just don't feel good about that. Thank you cards. It's nice to be thanked. It's nice to be valued. But that can't be what you live on. The promises fulfilled of yesterday, the mercies and grace of last year, those can't be enough for you to live this year. That's why we serve a God who says, my mercies are new every morning. It's never too late to leave those things which are doing you no good. You've got to take out the trash. But you've got to figure out what that means for you because it's too easy. It's too easy to stay the same. It's too easy to be that person. It's too easy to always be right. It's too easy to always be tired. It's too easy to always feel like you're not enough. It's too easy. It's too easy to always blame your outside circumstances and your surrounding situations for your lack of success. It's too easy. It's too easy to blame the people in your life for how you are. It's too easy to say it was the past. Listen, we have got to stop dragging our past like it was a ball and chain wrapped around our ankle into every present moment. We have to. We've got to let that stuff go. Pastor, you don't understand. So much of who I am is dependent on what I experienced. So much of that. Really? So you bring all of the pain of those experiences with you too? Because that's important. You like to operate on the frustrations of 5 years ago? You like to operate, but what really fills your tank is the bitterness? Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot afford that. It is 14 steps out to the trash. Just take the walk. Stop leaving it around so that it stinks up. We've got stuff that stinks up our lives because we simply, it's just too easy to let it sit there. It's too easy. We got to take the garbage out. What is it going to take for you to leave this year? What's it going to take? What do you need? There are people in this church who will walk beside you through anything. I know because they have. I've watched them. There are people in this church that believe God still moves mountains because they've seen it in their lives. There are people in this church who believe in miracles because we've seen those. You need somebody to walk with you? Find somebody in this community and say, I need some help. I need you to walk with me because I really want to leave this behind, but I don't know how to do that. I want to go forward and I want to be over here, but I just keep trying to exist in two places at once and it's killing me. Come and talk to me. You need prayer, we will pray. Call me on the phone. Write me an email. Invite me over to your house. Whatever it takes, I'm available to you to help you leave whatever you need to leave so that you can go wherever it is that you want to go. But here's the challenge. Until the pain of staying the same overcomes your fear and frustration of change, you're not going anywhere. Until it's too painful for you to be where you are, until your fear of what it's going to cost you or your frustration with having to change in general, until that pain overcomes those things, you're going to stay right where you are. We got to take out the trash. It's time to leave the places that we've been, the frustrations that we've had, the failures that we've experienced. It's time to leave the old people that we were behind. It's time for that. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, it's too easy. It's too easy. It's too easy for us to stay put, even though staying put is the last place we want to be. It's too easy. It's too easy to let these things live in our lives. We keep making goals. We keep saying, I'm going to be different. We keep saying we want to be there instead of here. We keep saying we want to make moves. We keep saying we want change. But then we don't purpose in our hearts to leave the garbage behind. We don't purpose to take that trash out. We just let it sit in our lives, Father. We want to be different, but we are afraid of what the change is going to cost us. We want to be different, but we are frustrated that we have to change at all. We just want the people in our lives to bend around us. We want them to do what we need them to do, be who we need them to be. We want them to see how our struggle and just change around us, and they don't seem to be willing to do that. And we can't seem, no matter how we push them, no matter how we threaten them, no matter how we hurt them, there's this fallacy of change that exists for us. We are just determined that we can change the people in our lives just by manhandling them, and it's not working, and we are still stuck in the same spot. We want to be in a different place. We want to strain towards you. We want to be with you in every sense of that word with. We want to be in your presence. We want to be in that glorious, victorious future where you already are waiting for us. Where we are not just okay, we are great. Where we are not just surviving, we are thriving. We want to be with you because where you are, there is life. And where you are, there is provision. And where you are, there is hope. And where you are, there is peace. And where you are, there is joy. We want to be there. But if we're going to be there, we got to leave here. We got to leave. We got to walk. God, give us the perspective of Paul who said, everything in my past, everything that's back there, especially the good things. Paul didn't talk about leaving the challenges of his life. He talked about all of the accomplishments that he was willing to leave. God, how can we not at least be willing to leave the challenges and the hurts and the failures and the bitterness and the frustration? God, help us, empower us, give us the desire, give us the courage to walk away from those things, to leave that behind. And then, God, in the absence of those things, I pray that you would empower us to make those goals, those changes that we so desperately want and need in our own lives. God, it is time to take out the trash. So here's what I'm going to ask you this morning. If you are in here today and you know that you are still, you've got garbage, forget 2016, you've got garbage from 2010. You've got garbage from 2003. You've got trash from 1999. Some of you weren't even born in 1999, so I won't go much further than that. You've got trash that you've been carrying around you for years. Let me tell you what I've been carrying around with me. I've been carrying around the fear of failure. I've been carrying around the fear of failing you as your pastor. And I am done with that. I have had enough. I've had enough of being afraid. I've had enough of feeling like I'm not enough. Because here's what I know. There's a God who is bigger than me, who called me to this, brought me here. I am not going to be afraid to fail anymore. I'm tired of carrying it. I'm leaving that place and I'm going towards success. I cannot be in the success that God has created for me and also in the failure of my past, the fear of my past. I can't be there. If you're here this morning and you want to leave something so that you can truly go somewhere, I just want to see a hand really quickly so I can pray for you. Hands, 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 hands coming up. In this small group of people, there are hands coming up everywhere. Father, in Jesus' name, right now I am praying that we take out the trash. Don't leave here this morning with that garbage in your soul. You can't afford it. My friend, you cannot be in two places at once. You cannot have one foot in the dung pile and one foot in the future. It does not work that way. Take your foot out of the dung pile. Take it out of that garbage. Wipe it off and walk away. Leave behind that thing which you have been carrying with you. Take out the trash. It's 14 steps. Take those steps in Jesus' name this morning. Take those steps. Be done. Be done. Be done. Father, by the power of your Spirit, we want to be done this morning. We want to leave those places where we cannot be, those places of darkness, those places of lifelessness, those places where you are not anymore. We have to leave those places and be in that place where you are. To be in that future where we are strong, where we are whole, where we are hopeful, where there is power in our prayer. God, I hear that. I just feel that in my heart. Some of you have been praying and you don't even believe the words that you've been saying. You are praying because it's become a habit pattern for you. But that's it. It's a habit like getting up in the morning and taking a shower. It's a habit like going to work. It's a habit like taking out the trash. You don't necessarily believe that there's power in your prayer. That's a lie, my friend. That is a lie. There is power in prayer. When you call on the name of Jesus, there is no greater name to call on. Let the faith come back into your prayer and believe that when you speak, God hears it. Not only hears it, but he begins to move. Father, energize the prayer that we have to give you with your power and with hope that can only come from you. We cannot stay here anymore. We got to move. So we leave that which is behind and we press, we strain, we pull towards you. God, I pray that you are taking burdens. I pray right now by the power of your Spirit that people are taking out the trash. To be different, to be changed, to never be the same when they walk out of this church again. We come here week after week, God, and we take the same trash home with us. Enough, in Jesus' name, enough. We leave the doubt. We leave the frustration. We leave all the garbage from 2016, which cannot exist for us. It simply can't. It is stinking up the whole house. It is leaking everywhere. We are spending our time, my God, we are spending our time, even in the last 2 weeks, cleaning up messes from the last year. Enough. Enough. We need a break. We need to break free and we leave it all behind. We declare that in the name of Jesus. I'm leaving it behind. Say it. I'm leaving it behind. Say it again. I'm leaving it behind. That's it. Done. Done in Jesus' name. We leave it behind, Father. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. Take out the trash in our lives. May the fear and frustration of our change be swallowed up by the grace and the mercy and love that only you provide. May we step into our future in Jesus' name with power and with hope and with expectation. We ask all of these things, we pray in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.